I want to ask you this morning to be turning in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3, beginning verse 13, and we will be considering the context down through verse 14, Philippians 3, 13 and 14. I want to welcome everybody, of course, to the new year, 2021, first Sunday of the new year. I hope and pray that for you, the events of 2020 have been something that has been as of minimal difficulty as possible. I know we've had a lot of people who have experienced COVID and have loved ones who have had COVID, and we certainly pray for them, and our hearts go out for each and every one of those individuals. And I hope that as we move into 2021, that this new year will hold some better things for you. The changing of one year to the next always helps us to think about the fact that time never stands still. There was a man by the name of Charles Duell. Back in 1899, he was the commissioner of the U.S. Office of Patents. And he made the statement in 1899, "Everything that can be invented has been invented." Well, I think you'd say about that he missed it by a long shot, didn't he? And he was wrong, because time and its kissing cousin, change, keeps marching on, so that we never know what tomorrow may bring. Maybe James said it best in James 4, verse 13, when James says, "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city, and continue there a year, and buy and sell, and get gain." And verse 14 caps it off by saying, "Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow." Well, James is just giving us a matter-of-fact statement about how things are in this life. We do not know what will be on the morrow. In the book of Lamentations, in Lamentations chapter 5, verse 19 and 20, the last few verses of that chapter, the prophet Jeremiah wrote these words. He was pleading with God, and he said, "Thou, O Lord, remainest forever, thy throne from generation to generation. Wherefore dost thou forsake us forever and forsake us so long time?" Verse 21 includes this: "Turn thou us unto thee, O Lord, and we shall be turned." He says, "Renew our days as of old." When Jeremiah wrote that, the people of his time had basically been blindsided by the future. The prophets of God had told them what was coming because of the way they'd been living their lives, but they weren't listening to God, and they weren't listening to God's prophets. And so Jeremiah gives them some inspired instructions about how to live right now. We don't live in a place called tomorrow. We live in a place called today. It's the only time that God has given us. And because of that, the prophet is pleading with God to renew his people. In fact, one translation uses the phrase, "Give us a fresh start," or "Give us a new start." Did you ever want a fresh start? Did you ever want a new start? An opportunity to, in a manner of speaking, turn the page and just move forward. I want to tell you today that we serve the God of fresh starts. We serve the God of new beginnings. And I'd like to consider that with you from the vantage point of Philippians chapter 3, beginning in verse 13 and verse 14. If you have found that place in your Bible this morning, read along with me those couple of verses. Philippians chapter 3, verse 14 and verse 13. Philippians 3, 13 and 14. "Brethren," Paul says, "I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Paul then includes this: "Let us therefore, as many as be perfect," this is verse 15, Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if in anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal this unto you. These verses describe for us how life was working out for a man who was given a new beginning. You're probably aware that Paul had a terrible past, a terrible past. In fact, he was a man who was holding the coats while God's first martyr for preaching the gospel, a man by the name of Stephen, was being stoned to death. And Paul was holding the coats of the people who were stoning Stephen to death. And that thought must have occurred to Paul, that flashback in time must have occurred to Paul throughout his life as a Christian, because he remarks about it every once in a while. In 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 13, he talks about himself and he says, "Who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief." He told that to a young man he had baptized and brought into Christ, who later became himself a gospel preacher. He wrote that to Timothy. He wrote these words to the Corinthians, "For I am the least of all the apostles, that I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God." And he reflected on this part of his past when he wrote to the Galatians as well, where he said, "For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it." But I want to tell you, as terrible as Paul's past was, he knew that in the city of Damascus, on that day when he obeyed the gospel, he was given the thing the people of Jeremiah's day were wanting. He was given a fresh start. He was given a new beginning. And he writes about what that meant to him here in Philippians chapter 3. If you ever wanted a new beginning, here's how Paul did it, and I know it will work for you as well. Let's consider from this passage of Philippians chapter 3, verse 13, that a new beginning begins with forgetting. It begins with forgetting. Here's Philippians 3 and verse 13. "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before." A new beginning, a fresh start, begins with forgetting. Now, that doesn't mean we forget everything that ever happened in our past life. In the first place, that's not even possible. It's not that I'm a lousy forgetter. I'm actually a pretty good forgetter. But Paul is not meaning for us to erase all the events of your past out of your mind. That's not what he's talking about. Paul, he didn't forget. He reflected on his past from time to time. David didn't forget his sin with Bathsheba. Almost the whole of Psalm 51 is a record of what that meant to him in his life. Moses didn't forget the sins of the people of God in the wilderness. Psalm chapter 90 describes that for us. And so it doesn't mean to erase the events out of your mind. That's just not even possible. But we forget in the sense that we stop letting our past affect our identity now. We don't let our past life without Christ control our present life with Christ. My past is my history, but my past does not define me as a person. If, like Paul, today you are a New Testament Christian, your past does not define you as a person. The past is only a snapshot of what has happened. It is not a reflection of how God can use you today, nor is it a barometer of what God has in store for you tomorrow in the service of His kingdom. Paul explained it like this one time to the Christians in Galatia. In Galatians chapter 2 and verse number 20, he said, "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I think that's made even more clear in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 21. For to me to live, he means live right now, in the lifetime he's been given right then. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. When Paul became a Christian, you see, there was no looking back. All of us have a past. We all have things we wish we could erase out of our lives. But your life and mine is written, as somebody said, in indelible ink. And there's no going back to erase the past. There's no going back to tweak our mistakes, change them up a little bit. There's no going back to fill in missed opportunities. When the moments on the clock tick by, the moment is over. But just because we cannot erase our past does not mean we cannot learn from our past. Paul learned from his past. He forgot those things that were behind, and he didn't allow those things to hold him back or to hold him down, and he moved forward. In fact, if we look very carefully, the words of verse 13 here in Philippians chapter 3 are actually built upon the words of verse 12. Verse 12 says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Maybe a good way to summarize that verse is just to say, Paul is saying, I'm not there yet. I'm not yet apprehended. I'm not yet attained. I'm not yet all God would have me to be. That's an amazing consideration. All of us are, even as Paul was, a work in progress. And because of that, Paul was not about to let his past control his present. Christianity is never about what I did yesterday. It is about what am I doing for God today. And so maybe, here at the start of 2021, that's a good question to ask. What am I doing for God today? What am I doing for God right now in my life? What am I doing in the service of God's kingdom right now? All of us have to look at our lives in just that way. We have to forget those things that have been in the past. We can't do anything about them anyway. And we must not let those identify us as to who we are today. Today, if you are a Christian, you are a servant of God. Take hold of that. Take ownership of that and move forward in your service to God. Having a new beginning means forgetting. Having a new beginning also means fighting. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13, the verse we've been considering, brings this to our attention. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. And, he says, reaching forth to those things which are before. I want you to look at the great word picture that's here in verse 13, where he says in my King James, reaching forth to those things which are before. The word picture is a picture of an athlete who is coming to a finishing line, and they're stretching forth their body in such a manner as to be the first one across the line, even if it meant a second or a fraction of a second. They're going to strain everything they've got to reach over that finish line before the other person gets there. And Paul is picturing his life just like that. I'm reaching forth, I'm straining with everything I have to the very end. He put it like this when he wrote to our brethren in Corinth in 1 Corinthians 9, beginning verse 25, where he said, and every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainty. So fight I, not as one that beateth the air. You see, his life has direction, his life has goals, his life has purpose and meaning for a way that he's traveling in his life. I appreciate old Joseph back there in the Old Testament. You know, for a while, things didn't look too good for Joseph. His brothers had turned against him. They wanted to kill him, but instead of killing him, they sold him off into slavery. He ends up in Egypt where his boss, his wife, tried to seduce him. He got thrown in jail, and he got abandoned in jail. But you know what? Before it is all over, by the providence of God, he ends up second in command in Egypt. He finally gets the opportunity to talk to his brothers about all the nonsense they had put him through in his life. But he doesn't have a bad attitude about it. He doesn't have a bad attitude about the bad things that have happened to him. In fact, here's what he said in Genesis chapter 50 and verse number 20. Talking to his brothers, Joseph said, "But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive." You know, Joseph, he had no way to know how God was using his life. He's not any different than us as we live our lives day by day. We have no way to know what God is preparing in the future. Joseph didn't know that. All that time that things looked so bad, what was actually happening is God was working things out down the road for what was good. I don't know, I think maybe the Bible teaches something like that. That all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose in Romans chapter 8. Do you have the confidence of Joseph? Do you have the confidence of Paul? Do you have the confidence and the understanding of Joseph, the attitude that will say that through thick and thin, I will not give up on God. I will keep fighting. I will keep marching forward every day. We all have had good things and bad things that come into our lives. Even congregations are like that. As congregations, we've had good things and bad things that come through the life of this congregation. But let's keep fighting for what God has ahead of us. 2020 does not tell the whole story of what's going on in our life of service for God. God has much better things ahead. I read this the other day and it made a lot of sense to me. I don't know who said this. I don't know where the quote comes from, but someone said, somewhere between I want to quit and I finished, you find out what you're made of. A new beginning means reaching forth and fighting, even when it's not easy. You see, the biggest thing God is trying to do in your life is to teach you to trust Him, not to get you out of the struggle and difficulties that you may be facing. And since God is trying to teach us to trust Him, we're not given a free pass when trials come. What we do get is God leads us through the difficulty, not around it. Listen to Isaiah 43, verses 2 and 3. Isaiah 43, verses 2 and 3. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. Oh, I like those words so much. That passage talks about some very uncomfortable things. Rivers and fires and floods and flames. But notice God says, I'll be with you. God leads us through those. I don't know about you, but sometimes what I want is for God to take me around the floods. Or I want God to put out the flames. But God doesn't do that. God takes me through the waters to show me that His grace is deeper than the waters. He takes me through the fires to show me His presence is stronger than the fire. He wants me to be able to trust Him in every situation. Reaching forward, you see, is not always easy, but it is always worth it. The fight is always worth it. Now, if you'll give me just a few more minutes of your time this morning, there's one more thing Paul says is important for a new beginning. He's describing to the Corinthians what his new life in Christ meant to him. And what it meant was forgetting those things that were past. He had some terrible, horrible things in his past, but he was not going to let those identify him in the present. And so he's forgetting those things. It meant reaching forth. It meant fighting for who God has called him to be, even when things were difficult in his life. And it means one more thing. It means finishing. In Philippians chapter 3 and verse 14, Paul said, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." The modern literal version puts that verse in this way: "I'm pursuing according to the goal line for the prize of the upward calling of God in Christ Jesus." I'm pursuing for that, Paul says. I'm pursuing that. I'm searching for that. He's looking for the finishing line. He's looking for the goal line. And he's going to press on till he achieves that. You know what? All Christians are pressing toward the prize. The prize is called the crown of righteousness. Paul spoke about that to Timothy when he wrote to him in that final letter that we have in the New Testament written by Paul. He said, "Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." You see, Paul knew there was a crown waiting. Now, we don't get that crown all at once. It just doesn't happen that way. We accomplish gaining that crown one step at a time, one day at a time, one decision at a time, one choice at a time. And to get to that crown along the way, we're going to have to accomplish some goals. We're going to set some goals for ourselves. What do we want our Christian lives to look like? The Bible outlines three of these for us in pretty clear detail. It outlines the goal of becoming more like God every single day. If you want to reach the finish line, you've got to become more like God every day. And every day is building upon the day previous to do a better job, a more thorough job, a more enthusiastic job of living for God. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 29, Paul says we are to be conformed to the image of his Son. Every single day, commit yourself. I'm going to be more like God today than I was yesterday. A goal that follows that one is the goal to glorify and praise God every day. In 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 31, Paul said, "Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God." Everything about your life and mine ought to be done to bring glory and praise to God. Will we do that perfectly? Probably not. We'll sin, we'll fall short of the glory of God, Romans 3 and 23. But we must have the determination that I'm going to keep moving forward. I'm going to bring my life in line with God's will, repenting of those things that are amiss in my life, and I'm going to get back to serving God, trying to praise God every single day. And then it means serving God every single day. Do you want to have that crown at the end? Serve God every single day. We need to understand the application of Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 10, where Paul writes, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk therein." We are his workmanship. One Bible translation says we are his masterpiece. We are created specifically by God to be his worker in his kingdom. Every single day, serve God. Do something for God every single day. Ephesians 2 and verse 10 is echoed in places like Titus chapter 3 and verse 1, where those who are Christians are to be zealous of good works. And Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9, where there we're told to not be weary in well-doing, for we shall reap if we faint not. You see, serve God every day. Those ought to be your goals for your Christian life that you embark upon every single day. Become more like God every day. Glorify and praise God every day. and serve God every day. And that will bring you to the point where that crown is yours in the after while. Paul said it like this in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. He said, I have fought a good fight. I finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. Paul knew that crown was his because he had lived that life in which he finished. He stayed faithful to God right to the very end. Now, as for you and me, well, our race is not through. Bible inspiration tells us about people like Paul and Joseph, who we talked about, and so many others. It tells us about people like that to encourage us to finish what we started, to complete the task all the way to the end. I looked up the other day about things people begin but they don't carry through. Here are the top two. These may surprise you. The top two things that people start but they don't carry through. Number one on that list was diets. People are really good. We are really good at starting diets but not carrying them through. That's the number one thing that people begin but they don't finish. The second most popular thing that people begin but don't finish, the one that surprised me, was running a marathon. A lot of people start to run a marathon, or they start some kind of exercise program, but they don't ever finish it out. But those two things are things that are left behind and are not accomplished. It cannot be like that in our Christian lives. We must finish those things. If you are not a Christian today, why not start 2021 with a new beginning? Why not start 2021 with fighting the good fight of faith? Why not start 2021 with not letting your past be that which identifies you today? And why not start 2021 reaching forth to those things which are before? And in doing of those things, just like Paul achieved that crown of righteousness, so too you and I can achieve that crown of righteousness. I hope and pray if there's some way we at the Lord's Church in Scurry, or in, excuse me, Beacon, can help you with that, that you would let us do that for you. We exist here in this place as God's people to do whatever we can to reach out to our community, and if we can be of assistance to you in your life, please let us hear from you. Thank you for tuning into our program today.